Let us pray together. Holy One, speak your word to us and write your love on our hearts. Holy One, speak your truth to us and write your love on our hearts. Holy One, speak your grace to us and write your love on our hearts. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant which they broke. Though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The word of life. Hear the prayer of Psalm 51 paraphrased. Be gentle with me, O God. Hold me in your constant love. With your abundant mercy, free me from my sins. Wash away the grime that covers your image in me. I know I don't live the life you give me. You know the difference. My love is not perfect, this you see. But you lead me to live in harmony with my inner truth, to be transparent to your presence within me. Purge me with your love, that I may be pure love. Fill me, that I may be pure light. Deep within me in your light, I discover joy, gratitude even for broken bones to be reset. When you look at me, you don't see sins, you see love. Create me all over again, O God. Breathe your life-giving breath in me. Hold me close and give me your loving spirit. You are the joy that sustains me. You give me my willing heart. O beloved, when I open my lips, my mouth will sing praise, only praise. I can't offer a thing to please you, can't determine your love for me. What delights you is just me, this broken heart, this true, simple heart. Use me as I am to love the world. That will be gift enough for both of us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's gospel in the 12th chapter. Some of the people who came up to worship at the festival were some Greeks who came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said, Sir, we would like to see Jesus. So Philip went to Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. And Jesus said, Now has come the time for the human one to be glorified. Listen, I'm telling you this. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. But those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Those who serve me will follow me. And where I am, there my servant must be. And whoever serves me, God will also honor. Now my soul is troubled. But what am I going to say? God, get me out of this? No, this is what I've come for. God, glorify your name. And then there was this voice from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And some of the people gathered around said it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus said, this voice is not for my sake, it's for yours. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this in order to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was thinking about dying. He knew that he was about to engage in this nonviolent protest against Roman violence, against religious corruption, against our judgment and hate of one another, and he knew it was going to get him killed. So when these people come to Jesus, expecting maybe that he's going to greet them and talk to them, he's lost in thought about dying. That's what that strange talk is about. Now is the judgment of the world. Now is this conflict between violence and nonviolence. And nonviolence is going to win. The forces of violence will be defeated. The rulers of this world will be driven out. But Jesus is still going to die. He can see that coming. So he's thinking about dying. But he's thinking about it not from the perspective of his little self-contained life. He's thinking about it from God's perspective, in which death isn't the end, but a portal to more life. And so he has this great, wonderful, powerful metaphor that he gives us. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I discovered recently in my basement, in a tub of gardening equipment, trowels and pitchforks and little hand tools and whatnot, a little paper envelope with seeds in it, left over from a garden that I had planted I don't know how many years ago. And there they are. The rest of the seeds got planted, and they bloomed into flowers. But these are still just dry little seeds in a paper envelope in my basement. And I don't know if I planted them now, if they would live or not. I don't know if there's any life in them. But if there is, there's only one way to find out. They have to die. And then they can finally be alive, because now they're pretty dead. And there's this miracle in the warmth and the moisture of the soil. This hard protective shell of the seed softens and breaks down and splits open. And inside, the seed ceases to be a seed. The seed is no longer there. Something grows out of it, and the seed becomes nothing but this little piece of shred of covering. And what grows instead is this great, wonderful plant. You are a seed of God. God has imbued you with all these gifts, this divine love, and beauty, and power, and loveliness. This life-giving force, it's in you. But it's human nature that we're afraid, and we try to protect ourselves. We see ourselves as these little seed pods, these little body pods, and we do our best to protect our power and our status and our comfort. And the problem is that if that life and that loveliness that's in you, that is of God, is going to come out, the first thing that has to happen is that all that self-protection has to go. You have to die and let yourself, this person that you think you are, fall apart, and let something that God gives you that is not under your control grow out of that. That is resurrection. Resurrection doesn't mean a happy ending. It doesn't mean that you don't die. It means that you do die. And when we let ourselves be cracked open in love, God brings forth new life that's even greater and different than the life that was before. An oak tree is not an acorn. A tomato plant does not look like a tomato seed. Neither an apple nor an apple tree is really a seed at all. It's a different thing. Resurrection is not being saved, it's being changed. And we allow that change to happen when we completely surrender ourselves to God. Like a seed that's just buried in the soil, we allow ourselves to be buried in God. We allow God to bury us in this world. What might that look like, to be a seed of God? Maybe there's somebody that you care a lot about, especially if they're going through a hard time. Or maybe you're just a parent. And when you love somebody, you know that that means your heart is going to get broken. And you're going to watch them go through difficult things. And you're going to ache for them. And you're going to want to fix things for them. And you're not going to be able to. And at that point, you want to say exactly what Jesus wanted to say. God, get me out of this. I don't want to have to deal with this. But this is what I'm here for. So instead, not my will, but yours be done. And we choose to love that person. And all of the heartache and all of the expense and all the time and all the annoyance and all the sacrifices that we make are worth it. Because that's how we love them. Because we love them. That's how we make a difference in their lives. We have to, at least a little bit, die for their sake. That's what it means to be a seed of God. And when we're willing to die like that, it bears fruit in their lives. Maybe to be a seed of God happens when you see injustice. Maybe the racism or the poverty or the violence, maybe the way we treat each other really gets to you. Maybe it's a specific issue like domestic violence. Maybe it's just the whole thing, the way we treat the earth. Sometimes it can be this great issue, and we see how small we are and how huge the problem is, and we want to say with Jesus, oh, just get me out of this. Save me from this. But this is why I'm here. To care about this. And so in this little way, we die and we allow ourselves to be sown in that injustice. And when our own control breaks open, when we die, God brings new life out of us. I've heard people say, who were there at that march in Selma 50 years ago, across that bridge for civil rights, that it really struck them what was happening. When they heard people preparing for this march, talking with their lawyers, making sure that their will was in order. Because they knew that they might be killed. Now, the kind of dying that we're invited to do is not very often that dramatic. But it's that clear. As clear as it was for Jesus. You know, and you choose. Maybe being a seed of God is as simple as when people around you are mistreating you. When you've been hurt. When you disagree with people or you're in conflict, things are not going your way. And we try so hard to assert our control and to be right and to maintain our power and our status and our comfort. And maybe what it means to be a seed of God is to let that go. And to treat those people with love and kindness and respect, even though you're right and they're wrong. To do it anyway. And in that little death, the love of God blossoms and bears fruit. Maybe being a seed of God is as quiet and as inward as those times when we're in pain. When we're suffering loss or grief. When we're struggling with something that isn't getting better. When we're confused about something that means a lot to us and we can't just make it straighten out. And we want so much to manage the life of that little seed. And Jesus invites us to just let it go. Let that protection break open. Let that life spill out of us. Surrender ourselves wholly to God. And buried in God's grace, new life comes out of us. Unless a grain of seed falls in the earth and dies, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It's not easy. So we come over and over again to God in prayer, in which we bury ourselves in God. We come again to this table to feast on the love of one who poured himself out for us. Jesus could have protected himself. He could have avoided the cross and died of old age. And to this day, he would still be a little dry seed in a paper envelope in God's basement. But he didn't do that. He allowed himself to die and for all the love that was in him to spill out into our lives. That's resurrection. That's the gift of this image of the seed that we can carry with us every moment. Unless a grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Will you pray with me? God, give us the faith to surrender ourselves completely to you, to trust your grace, to die and be raised with Christ in love. Gracious God, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith always to be dying with Christ, seeds of your love. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us. Surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.